That's Joel Osteen, We Have Overcome, from a CD called Free to Worship. It's sort of a comment, I guess, on our next guest, Hu Qi. Chinese artist, began with Mao and the Cultural Revolution, now a promoter of Christian imagery in Chinese art. Free to Worship. Here's a little musical introduction from Hu Qi's Cultural Orbit. You're on Sunday Night on ABC Radio around Australia through Radio Australia and via the web to the world. John Cleary with you. You may have noticed over the last few weeks, if you'd watched ABC Television's Foreign Correspondent, a story on religion in China today and the way Christianity is growing and the threat that some people seem to see in the rise of religious practice in China. Well, one of those intimately involved in that scene over the last 20 years is Hu Qi, a Chinese artist who discovered in Christianity a new way to express his art and his faith. Hu Qi joins us in the studio this evening. Hu Qi, welcome to Sunday Night.
Good evening. It's my big honor to be here, to hear my
well,
my audience.
Your honor in being in Australia is something other than being on Sunday Night. In fact, you're here to receive a doctorate from the Australian Catholic University.
Yeah. For encouraging me to do Christian art and artworks.
Your work is now becoming quite well known in the United States, in Canada, in Europe. You've sat with the Archbishop of Canterbury. You've just received a doctorate from the ACU in Australia. When did you first come in contact with Christianity? Because that seems as much as part of the story that makes you the artist you are as the art itself.
Oh, yeah, it's a long history. During Cultural Revolution, I was a middle school student. I was sent to the countryside.
So we're talking about the early 60s when you were a student in the midst of the Cultural Revolution.
Yeah, middle school student, yeah. Now, you know, Cultural Revolution started 1966, finished 1978, 10 or 12 years.
Well, let's start with that story. As a young child, you grew up, of course, in the middle of a revolution in China. The Communist Party had taken power in the late 40s. It grows up with you almost. But by the 1960s, Mao instigates the Cultural Revolution. Where are you at that point in time? You're at school. What's your family doing?
I was a middle school student. My father, he was a famous mathematician, mathematics professor. Teaching in Nanjing University, he had five children. I was a third. Clever boy, maybe only me could continue to keep his job to be the next famous mathematician. His dream. But Cultural Revolution happened, so he lost his dream.
What happened in the Cultural Revolution to you?
My father's university was closed because everybody should be involved in the revolution.
And we should say to people that for those who aren't familiar with it, The Cultural Revolution involved emptying the universities of intellectuals and turning them out into the fields to work and learn how to be peasants again.
My father, as a professor, he was sent sometimes to the factory to do labor work, and sometimes he was sent to the field to do farmer work. I was sent to the countryside to do very hard labor work. Yeah.
So what happened to actually give you the opportunity to pursue art? Because art seems to be quite different from the sort of laboring work.
I was a very clever boy, and I thought I was not strong enough to do very hard labor work in the field. But if I can paint Chairman Mao's portrait, I will be lucky. So I started to paint, how to use all your brush, how to paint. So I started my career.
Did you have somebody who taught you how to do this?
Yes, I was lucky because I had a very good neighbor in Nanjing, my city, my hometown. And he was a very famous professor, art educator. When he was young, he studied art in Paris. And he was the dean of Nanjing Normal University Art Department. I still remember coming to his private home when he showed me his artworks, paintings, oil paintings. Really interesting, and he said, just follow me. No use for follow your father to study mathematics now. Just follow me to study art. You are a very clever boy.
你坚持我力量，我避难所。你是我高台，我盾牌，超乎我所能领受的一切。你是道路，真理。
So you had the opportunity to get interested in art before you went out into the countryside.
Yeah.
And so here out in the countryside, you begin to do portraits of Chairman Mao as a way of avoiding doing the hard labor in the fields, and it worked?
That was a big competition, because there were many young students like me, they wanted to take this job, but I was a winner. I got this opportunity to do this job.
And how long did you spend doing sort of posters for the Cultural Revolution and for Chairman Mao?
5 years.
And those posters were printed and distributed around?
During Cultural Revolution, in lots of open area, even in the field, they built altarpiece to ask someone to paint Chairman Mao's portrait in the 6 a.m. early morning, and people standing around in front of Chairman Mao to worship him. Then at 6 p.m., again, repeat, long live Chairman Mao, then back home.
Because many Australians can remember that period because Chinese poster art, particularly, and the little badges of Chairman Mao, were distributed around the world. So many Australian students of that period would probably still have folded up inside their souvenirs, sort of posters of Chairman Mao from the Cultural Revolution. You may be in many Australian packing cases.
It's funny. It's really,
So how did you move on from that? Let me ask it this way. What was your first contact then with religion and Christianity in particular?
I just started to learn how to paint. I had a very good neighbor, professor, professional artist. I did borrow some of his art magazine, then returned back to the field. In the art books, I found an image touched my heart. The image painted by Italian Renaissance artist Raphael, Madonna, Mary holding baby Jesus in a chair.
So why was that so special for you?
I was first time seeing this picture, particularly I feel it's very, very touched my heart because the painting itself very peaceful, carrying peaceful message. You can imagine at that time, during Cultural Revolution in China, people just criticize everything, criticize every culture in the world, revolutionary. It's hard to find peaceful message. But here, this painting, immediately to touch my heart, sharing peaceful message. This is the first.
So the image strikes you first. When did that lead you to take an interest in religion, into Christianity itself? It's one thing to be interested in the artwork. It's another thing.
Yeah. Through this image, I was thinking, oh, this is a baby Jesus and his mother, St. Mary. Yeah, something maybe interesting, linked with Christianity. Then I went back to the city, Nanjing, my city, hometown. Nanjing was the former capital of China before 1949. So there was a capital church in the city. I wanted to know more about the church, Christianity, what happened. And I was standing outside the windows of the church, look at what inside. I only found lots of machines. They put machines inside the church. Looks like a factory. I was very disappointed. You know, during Cultural Revolution, all the churches in
China churches were emptied, weren't they?
Yeah, closed. Buddhist temples also were totally closed. Some destroyed, you know.
So when did you first make contact with Christianity as a religion? What was your first experience with?
At that time, it's very hard to do some any communication with Christian in mainland China. Yeah, I was in the countryside. I still paint Chen Mao. In the midnight, I paint Madonna. Yeah, the Raphael's Madonna. Yeah, sharing with my friends. And there was my classmate coming to visit me, and he found my Madonna. So he thought he came from Christian family. He has sing the very beautiful song, Hallelujah. This is some first beginning to let me know more about Christian images.
You are now in a position where you are recognized as a painter of Christian art in China, but it's Christian art that is sufficiently different for even Chinese people to find it a struggle. That is, it's not there's no familiarity there. It's rich, it's colourful, it hasn't got those quiet pastel shades that we associate with traditional Chinese art. It's not delicate, it's in your face, it's very bold art. How did you develop your style? Where did you get that from? Did you go back and study European art and the traditions? Because there are echoes of both traditional Chinese, traditional European, and also contemporary European. Some person immediately said to me when they saw one of yours, Picasso. And so there are references in your art. So is there a deal of study here?
You know, I got a chance back to the city to study art in the Nanjing Normal University Fine Art Department. Then I got scholarship to study medieval art in Germany over 20 years ago. And I was interested in medieval art, European medieval art. And
what impressed you about European medieval art?
It's something directly to express people's faith. You know, maybe you had the same experience when down to the street medieval art, the church, the stained glass inside, you can get some spatial meaningful, around the atmosphere.
It's interesting you say stained glass, because that's the other thing that strikes me about your art. So many of the pieces I've seen, one could easily translate into stained glass. It has that richness of colour and the edge, the form, that you could say, this is made to be a stained glass work.
Very spiritual, this is my dream. I hope my artworks could be made as a stained glass,
You're on Sunday night. Our guest is Chinese Christian artist Hu Qi, a man who started off drawing Mao and has ended up with pictures of Jesus on Sunday night. A rather remarkable journey.
Me,
Now, you're a successful artist. People around the world are saying, yes, we must have that Chahoochee piece, I must have some of that. But you still find difficulty with getting some of your commissions accepted in China.
Oh, yeah. In China, most of ordinary Chinese people, they think about Christianity just only a kind of Western religion, not belong to our Chinese people. But I do think it's very, very important to change their wrong idea. So you can see some of my artworks, particularly some Chinese indigenous, Chinese folk arts, some Chinese Beijing opera, Chinese minority people.
It's the color of Beijing opera.
Yeah.
Yes.
And some Chinese minority people, the folk arts, are really interesting. Very, very colorful. Not, it's a very different comparison with Chinese scholar painting. Just black and white and brush and ink, no color. But Chinese folk arts, Chinese minority people, their daily life for decoration is very colorful. So I do appreciate. And also, as you mentioned, Picasso, Cubism, you know, Picasso Cubism, he got many strong influence by African wood carving, sculpture.
Yeah, yeah, so the wood carvings of Benin in other countries like that, you can see in the work of Picasso.
Yeah, the minority people, the creation. Yeah, I got some idea about that. But the problem is, written back your question, for a Chinese church, you know, it seems missing link with contemporary international church. Since 1949, all the Western missionaries written back home. And for China itself, closed door. And during Cultural Revolution, all churches were closed. Then since 1980s, for church in China, reopened.
We call resurrection. Yes, the three self church.
Yeah, but some old pastors, they're thinking about the Christian art, still linked back, written back 1949, before, you know. But they did not.
So their images of Christian art is still locked in the 19th century, in the early 20th century.
If for doing art, church, architecture design, still they are only thinking about neo-Gothic. Gothic church is only one choice.
A church has to be neo-Gothic.
Yeah, but I do think it's not so good. The neo-Gothic coming into China during Opium War, you know, 19th century. So it's not so good for Chinese people. The Stoics are kind of Western religion. Yeah, mm-hmm. But actually, after World War II, around the world, my experience in the outlet, the Emmanuel College, they built a modern architecture 40 years ago, not neo-Gothic. But let's touch my heart. So I do think we need to change.
Do you still run up against that difficulty today with your work in China?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. For instance, I will tell you a story. I did a painting, the Risen Lord. Yeah, Jesus standing in the center. Then there are 12 disciples surrounding him. This work was appreciated by Evangelical Lutheran Church International Conference. They made as a big poster for the Annans Assembly, big international conference in Hong Kong in 1997, after 1 week for Hong Kong unification. Then they used this image. They made a big banner and posters. Very appreciated. Then after 1 more year, there was a new church was built in Suzhou. You know, the city just near, close to Shanghai, between Nanjing and Shanghai. And the pastor came to Nanjing, visited me. He would like invite me to do a wall painting as a decoration for the new church. And I introduced this painting, the Risen Lord. The pastor looked at my picture. 2 minutes silence, nothing to say. Then finally he told me, no. It's too Chinese. Why? Because my painting, I paint Jesus dressing typical Chinese traditional clothes. Yeah, it looks like Chinese people. But he said, what we would like invite you to do, just make a copy of Da Vinci Last Supper. Then I refused. I said, you can invite art student to make a copy. And then
Da Vinci still has a home in Italy. So
I continue to explain.
even because I got a scholarship to study medieval art and Renaissance art in the European countries. I know. So I explained to the pastor, even Da Vinci La Supper, it's a kind of Italian indigenous Christian art. Because Italian Renaissance art is a realistic. Da Vinci need to paint a model, real model. Yeah, people living in the Milan at that time. And you're walking down the street in the Uffizi Gallery in the Florence, you can find Mary. The image, the paintings, looks like
dressed as a
Florentine
15th
ladies.
Century Florentine.
Yeah,
yes.
It's a kind of indigenous Christian art.
And you are trying to do that in China. You're trying to give Christianity some indigenous feel in China.
Yeah, contemporary now. Yeah, I want to do something different than comparison with Da Vinci's time.
Well, you will know the old Bible saying, you know, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country.
I wish the situation could be changed. Yeah.
Hochi, you're recognized in Australia, in the UK, in Germany, in the USA. You still regard Nanjing as home?
Yeah, still Nanjing, my hometown, is my home. Yeah, every year I return back one and two times.
What do you see when you see what's happened over the last few years with the explosive interest in Christianity in China? Do you think the way it's reflected in the Western media is accurate, that what's going on in China with regard to religion and Christianity in particular?
I will tell you the real situation. During Cultural Revolution, most Chinese people, they worship Chairman Mao. Now, today, particularly since 1990s, economic situation is growing so fast. People worship money. But we need spirit. It's very, very important for
Chinese. So there's a great interest at the moment in religion.
Yeah. Very, very important. I do think Christian faith to Chinese people. It's very, very important.
And there is, as you mentioned, a hangover in many, many hundreds of thousands of Chinese homes from a Christianity prior to the Cultural Revolution, prior to the communist regime, that goes back two generations, that there is a Christian community that was very strong in the 19th century in China. And so that the roots of that are still there. There are people still who reach back to that period.
Somehow, but I do think many things has been changed. Yeah, we need to much more open our mind to dialogue to the real contemporary now. I do think we need to do something new for the next century.
And what's the situation with regard to the authorities in China, the Communist Party and Christianity? Why is it that we see some groups in conflict with the party and other groups worshipping freely?
But actually, my background is from Nanjing Theological Seminary. Someone says, officially, it's the government permission. It's no problem. I do think we need, because Christian faith is much more open. It's not an early Christian church during Roman time. Yeah, the Roman emperor, you know, the 2,000 years ago, so just this terrible time. We need to, if we can get government permission, it's very great.
And that helps the indigenous process as well, doesn't it?
It helps
to actually locate the ownership of the church in China.
That's true.
Rather than being seen as the foreign devils.
Yes, yes. My experience traveling around the United States, I have seen many modern contemporary church building, not new Gothic. A new idea, new contemporary the church buildings, particularly here, my experience traveling here 2 weeks, there are so many contemporary church here in Australia. We need to do same way.
Hochi, it's been great to talk with you. Thanks for spending the time with us, and congratulations again on becoming Dr. Hochi.
Thank you. It's my big honor.
Thank you for joining us. Hochi, Chinese Christian artist and a guest of the Australian Catholic University, with an honorary doctorate being conferred in the past week. Hochi, thanks for joining us on Sunday Night.
Thank you.
是道路真理，生命活力的气息。你是道路真理，生命活力的气息。你是我安慰者，我一直者绝望无助，你爱拥抱，你心之泉，你是我安慰者，我一直者绝望无助。
And that's the some music surrounding our discussion with Hu Chi. We'll put some paintings of Hu Chi up on our website on Sunday nights if you'd like to get an idea of just why Hu Chi is such an interesting artist.